jockeying for playoff positioning, the debut of the Houston Rockets backcourt, and wedding drama. All that next on Drew League Weekly.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. I get
those goosebumps every time. Shout out to H-Town. Why are we shouting out H-Town? Because the Houston Rockets backcourt made their debut at the Drew League this weekend, and you are tuned into what? The Drew League Weekly.
Hello.
I'm your host, Jill Monroe, and by my side, holding it down, D'Angelo.
And I gotta take it for two people because, you know, our boy Josh is, you know, he out there grounding, so always
doing the producer thing.
No, he's doing his thing, so I got two roles to cover today. A lot of pressure. It's a little hot over here, actually.
I think you can handle it.
I think I got it online. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Tell the people where they can find you.
What's up, guys? You can hit me up on Twitter. I'm D'Angelo TV, but more importantly, hit me up on Instagram. Let me know your thoughts. Follow me. Might follow you back. That's at D'Angelo on Instagram. Jill, where can they find you?
You can find me at Stiletto Jill. Hit me up. You know, we like to talk basketball, hoops, sports, a little bit of drama on occasion.
A lot of drama.
Sometimes we like drama. But right now, we're here to talk about week 10, the final week of the Drew League, the crescendo. A lot of games going down to the wire for playoff positioning, but the most talked about game of the weekend everywhere, if you looked at ESPN this weekend, Fox Sports, was 6 p.m. Sunday between LA Unified and Hometown Favorites. Now, we've had them both as games of the week. Mm-hmm. We know Hometown Favorites features Darrell Wright and his brother DeLon Wright of the Toronto Raptors. And there were rumors that Russell Westbrook was going to show up.
Yeah, man. Ooh, it was getting spicy if he had came
it
out.
It was, but Russ was at Disneyland with the family.
I guess
so,
that's a good choice.
You know, yeah. he bypassed the weekend. But we got to see the debut on LA Unified of Hometown Favorites. And you see them on the screen right now. Chris Paul and James Harden rocking in the backcourt. Of course, Bobby Brown, who also plays with LA Unified and plays with the Rockets, was
signed,
the catalyst for bringing this together.
Shout out to Bobby. Hey,
shout out to him, LB. We are. So what basically happened is CP3 came out to the Drew League last weekend to check out James Harden play, his new teammate. And he said it was so much fun. He was back in town to go to his other new teammate, Trevor Ariza's wedding, which we'll talk about soon.
Uh-oh.
And he threw on a jersey. So you got to see your first signs of the two of them playing together.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed right off the bat is there were definitely moments where it was kind of like, okay, who's handling the rock?
Yeah.
The offense flowed a little bit more smoothly with CP3 there.
Shocker.
I'm just saying.
He's a natural point guard.
He is, but James Harden's new role
was as a point guard
this season. So it was interesting to watch.
I think, James had 27, 12, and 6. CP had 13 and 10. You even had Bobby, who dropped, he had 19 and 3. And the recruit, Marvin Bagley,
the high school kid.
Deep,
they are deep.
Yeah,
it's
so
gonna
be crazy. Dropped 10 and 8. So, like, that was just cool to see that, see all of those guys together, all of those former, current, and soon to be NBA stars. But I think it's going to be a very compelling question to see in the season what's going to happen. But I think CP3 is a natural point guard. James Harden was a shooting guard before, and you have Mike D'Antoni with, as a coach, many deficiencies as a defensive coach, but as the offensive mastermind. So I think that's like if coaches were put in a situation or what they would have to want to figure out, trying to figure out how to maneuver Chris Paul and James Harden is a good problem to have. I think
it is a good problem. You know what else I thought was interesting is that for as long as Chris Paul played with the Clippers, this was his first time playing in the Drew League.
Yep.
DeAndre Jordan has popped through. And I feel like you've seen some video of CP3 and James Harden hanging out at concerts. Mm-hmm. I think they went to the Future concert in Houston. And I think this is a better fit for Chris Paul, it seems like, as far as the camaraderie that can be built up through, you know, hanging out with your teammate and chemistry. I feel like this is going to be a better fit for him.
I think so. Rumors, you definitely believe so, that him and Blake Griffin and Doc butted heads. But it's also interesting, James Harden didn't really put much effort when Dwight Howard was there. Dwight Howard picked Houston. He said he never really recruited him. I don't know if James Harden is learning from that, or more so he's just more connected to Chris Paul. So I think, like, it's cool to see that the he's maturing in that way because he's still the leader, I would say, on right. that basketball team.
Do you think he's the leader now?
It's an interesting question. I don't know.
I think that all of that is going to be figured out, much like how we kind of saw what happened when LeBron came and joined D-Wade.
In Miami,
the first time, where that first season was D-Wade and LeBron trying to figure out whose team it was and mm-hmm. when to make their moves. I think you're going to see some of that in Houston because Chris Paul is a natural leader.
Right.
And I don't feel like he's ever been on a team, save maybe the Olympic teams, where he hasn't been in the forefront. And James has gotten very comfortable to a certain degree with being the leader of his team. So it'll be interesting to see how this all
shakes
down.
It is going to be interesting. I think that James Harden being with KD and Russell Westbrook. And he seemed like, you know, he was okay with being the secondary guy, came off the bench. I mean, you know, obviously he got traded at one point, but who's to know if he would have wanted to re-sign with them? It seemed like it was OKC's decision to get rid of him. So maybe
I think he wanted to eventually be a starter, that was where the problem was going to come into play.
And it's hard to justify because even in those situations, D-Wade was the guy who won the championship. So it was like, I do have some things I need to teach you, LeBron.
Right.
When LeBron came to Cleveland, Kyrie, you do need to listen to me. I have won championships. Both of them, I would say, have the same level of playoff success. And both of them have been our long-term veterans. So it is going to be interesting who is the alpha in that situation because what do you have that I don't have? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting power struggle that we've never seen.
It's going to be an interesting shakedown. Also in the building, D-Wade was in the building his first time checking out the Drew League. He said he was a little upset. He wanted to throw on a jersey. He would have joined hometown favorites. Of course, he and Darrell Wright were teammates mm-hmm. back in Miami on D-Wade's first championship team. So
we might be able to see. He can come through.
I mean, the playoffs start next weekend. I think it might be too late.
I guess that'd be a little cheating. A
little
bring
too
D-Wade
late.
On in the playoffs.
So, you know, like I said, LA Unified were playing for their playoff lives. Mm-hmm. They beat hometown favorites by one, so they're into the playoffs. And we also have an interview with Bobby Brown, who was kind of the catalyst for pulling this all together. He's a Drew League vet, has been playing since his high school team, spent time overseas, and played with the Clippers briefly, was drafted to the Timberwolves, fell off, went to China and these other places to build himself back up, worked his way back, and signed with the Rockets last season, was cut for a second, brought back on, and this summer signed a full season deal, with Houston. So, you know, those dreams can happen if you work hard, and it all started at the Drew League in Westchester High School.
It's interesting to say, you know, we'll bring the interview up, but it's interesting to see that, and I think the like playing in the Drew League would play an impact because he wasn't a guy that many people were talking about, you know what I mean? So, and him being a catalyst and bringing them over, it just really shows how the NBA culture and the Drew League kind of really cross over. And what's also interesting is LA Unified at the beginning of the season was a team that, like, they didn't have a very good record, and it seemed like they were holding out for their NBA stars to happen. It just shows how when July comes, it's a whole different league.
It's a whole different league. It takes over. So, we're ready with the LB interview, the Bobby Brown interview.
Yeah, but and while we wait on that, we have it right now.
Yep. Joe Monroe, we are live at the Drew League for AfterBuzz Sports, and we are standing here with Mr. Bobby Brown. Now, you know him from the Houston Rockets, but also he's a Drew League legend with LA Unified. You guys have been champs how many times?
Four championships.
So how long have you been playing in the Drew League?
I've been playing since high school. We had our high school Westchester team in it when we was younger, and we got beat up the whole season. I think we won like two games, but you know, that definitely molded us and helped us out to, you know, want to continue to play and compete at a high level when we got older.
Okay, so since you're pro, why do you still come back every summer and play in the Drew League? What does it do for you?
It does everything. I mean, this is where the league I grew up in. I mean, it's for my family and friends, and it's the people here to come watch me play, because when I've been in Europe for like 7 years in China, and people don't really get to see me play that's in the city, or we're not on TV over there. So I want
to
come showcase, you know, my ability and also play with my boys I grew up with. So that's why I come and play every year.
So what's the biggest difference between playing in the Drew and playing professionally overseas and playing in the NBA?
It's definitely different because, you know, that's the NBA is like the highest league in the world, and Europe is second to that. But then you have the Drew. It's like a mixture of both. You have guys that play in Europe. You got guys that play in the NBA. You got street ball people. You got, you know, just people trying to make it, you know, to that level that you're at or anything. So when you come out here, everybody competing. They don't care what your name is or none of that. So you just got to come out here and bring your A game every game, because you might get embarrassed. And it's definitely, you know, a transition for everybody to come out here and compete.
So who's your biggest competition that you guys play so for this summer? Who do you look
for? BD, Baron Davis team. We played them last year in the semifinals. We lost. We was missing a couple pieces. James was in Europe.
James Harden.
Yeah, so, you know, he'll be back next month, just let y'all know.
But we obviously did this interview at the end of June.
The playoffs is going to be tough, but we'll have our whole team back.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So,
and that was before he got signed with the team, and you know, the Drew League is almost two different leagues when you have June and then when July. He's like, they're like just trying to stay afloat until our NBA stars, guys. And I'm, you know, that was before we even knew Chris Paul was coming. So like, it's really cool to be able to even get a little cursor of that. And man, if we got Russell Westbrook to come through, that'd have been crazy.
Right. Yeah. You know, Russ tweeted out today something about sources is the word of the summer. And what does that really mean? Russ, you could have squashed that earlier. But shout out to you and your lovely wife and the new baby at Disneyland. That's important.
I love them, yeah.
So it was 156 games for the regular season of the Drew League, and now we're down to the postseason action. So real quick, we want to run through what the matchups are for this weekend for the semifinals. And of note, if you're in the L.A. area and you plan on going down, the Drew League playoffs will be at L.A. Southwest College, the same place where tomorrow they'll be having the Drew League versus the Seattle Pro-Am League that features Jamal Crawford. I think Zach LaVine may be playing with them. Not sure
who
else.
He can play right now? Interesting.
Oh, well, wait. No, he just
had... he's hurt.
He played last time they played, so I guess maybe he might just be there for support. Mm-hmm. But he's coming back from injury, so he won't be doing anything. The number one team is Birdie's Revenge. That's Rapper The Game's team. They are undefeated in the Drew this summer. Also feature Frank Nitti. We've shown him several times as our Dunk of the Week. He's also the Player of the Week
athletic
this year.
Yeah.
Co-MVP from last season, in the running for MVP this season, versus the Jaguars, BB4L, which Bobby mentioned, versus LA Loop. That's one of Keon Kendrick's teams. We interviewed him early in the season. No Snacks versus Footprint. And number two, Houdini's Problems versus number seven, the Closers. And then there is City Team Blazers versus NWA, New Edition, which is also a Baron Davis team, versus Hometown Favorites, which, you know, they also had Tim Hardaway Jr. and I think Jordan Crawford on their team this weekend, too. So the pros are just piling up. Amon Shumpert had some run this weekend. We see Julius Randle has still been out there holding it down. So lots of pros.
He's looking good.
He's looking really good. Yeah. I'm excited for the Lakers, you know, to see what they come up with this season. So that's the rundown on the Drew League, the playoffs coming up. So now we're going to skip over to a little bit of NBA news. This has sort of been the summer of the NBA, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. It's
there
popping.
Has been no offseason, even though there's
it.
An offseason.
I love it. That's one thing that the NBA has beat with the NFL. It just always finds a way to stay in the know, and we care. You know what I mean? If people were talking about, I mean, because of, you know, we're about to talk about the news aspect, but we talk about so many intricacies of the NBA outside of just actual transactions and how good the teams are because of the star power that the NBA offers.
Well, this first story is a little bit of star power. It involves weddings. So over the weekend, Harrison Barnes, former Golden State Warrior, got married in, I believe it was Rhode Island.
So he
got married, and naturally, his former Warriors teammates were there, and Kyrie Irving was also in the building. And, you know, you get a little loose at the wedding reception, and there was dancing, and there was Steph Curry looking like he was doing a little LeBron ribbing, a little LeBron invitation from LeBron's workout videos. And Kyrie was right there, kind of enjoying the moment. Let's take a look. Steph. Get it, Steph. Wind it up, Steph. Wind it up, Steph. There's Kyrie. You see Kyrie really quick. Back. All the other players, you see Kyrie. Steph is really getting into it. Lifting the weights, too. Go, Steph. I feel like this is fair game.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with
After the cookies and the Ultimate Warrior t-shirt and all of that, I feel like this is fair game. But do you have a problem with Kyrie laughing at it, especially considering he, one, hasn't been in contact with Cavs management, two, unfollowed LeBron on social media.
Oh, I know
what that means.
That's
when you unfollow, it's serious business.
That means you gotta go out your way to do that. Yeah.
You unfollow.
Yeah. That's...
So do you think that, you know, LeBron is kind of the king of passive aggressive?
Yeah.
Do you think he'll have a problem with Kyrie being there while Steph kind of
will he have a problem with it? Maybe, probably, but I don't think it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It seems like now, because I don't think I had insight into their personal relationship. It definitely doesn't seem like they have much of a personal relationship. It was like a professional business, and he respected him as an athlete and a competitor. But it seems like, you know, when you go to a wedding, that's voluntary. Like, he has more of a personal relationship with those guys, and like, they're enjoying themselves. It's funny. It's like funny. Steph and the Warriors have been trolling the Cavs. They beat them. They played them 3 years in a row. It's appropriate. LeBron was doing the same last summer. So I think it's fair game. I have definitely
not with Draymond right there though, egging him on.
Oh yeah, I mean, whatever. I think it is. It's an interesting extra component with Kyrie being there. Like, if the Cavs are on good terms and he was still coming back next year, or you know, he didn't request a trade, then I'd probably have a problem with it. But I don't think he'd be there either, or doing that. So I think I don't have a problem with it because it's obviously they're not on good terms. And even if there's a situation where you guys think that he'll be there beginning of the season, I don't think it'll be much of an issue. I think that they'll be able to work it out until he gets traded, because he will be traded.
So you don't think that Kyrie makes it through the season? Do you think he makes it to the opening training camp roster, but not through the season?
Well, now that you told me he unfollowed him on social media, that's like extra. That's like a little like too much. So now it sounds like it's a little bit of animosity.
It's a little
there.
Sticky, yeah. Right?
So I don't think so. I think it even builds an even more sense of urgency for them to do that. Yeah. What do you think? How'd you feel about it?
I mean, I didn't have a problem with it, because sometimes something's funny and you laugh right. Because it's funny. It's not like a personal jab.
Right, right.
But I do know that LeBron is a little sensitive, and I feel as though that is something that he would not take in good fun, mm-hmm. considering everything that's going on right now, even though it really has nothing to do with Kyrie. He just happened to be there.
Right.
But there's other components of this. And I think that LeBron is personally offended, but he shouldn't be, because he's the king of passive aggressive. Like, how many times this season did he say he needed help with his teammates?
Yeah,
I'm sure Kyrie was a little offended by that.
Right, yeah.
You know?
I don't know. It's such a weird situation. I've never really seen anything like this from a successful team. I really think it gives insight to what it's like dealing with a guy like LeBron. You know what I mean?
An intense.
Ultimate competitor. I think it's a lot in the way he's involved his business. He's changed the game when it comes to being a superstar and how you negotiate contracts. And from a personal standpoint, from a business standpoint, it's great, but you see how it affects your team. And in a negative way, you know what I mean? Like, a guy like Kevin Durant took a pay cut to do it, so it's a little different. But, you know, not only do we have to deal with it, but, like, they have to deal with it, too. We don't know where you're going. Like, so, like, that's stressful, and I think I have a lot of empathy for that.
And, you know, Kyrie's like, I got my ring. I got a couple of all-star appearances. Deuces. Let me go and build up this branding side of myself, too. And
I think it has a lot to
win-win.
Do with that. Yeah. But, you know, if he gets traded to Phoenix, then that's not a great situation.
We'll
not a great
see what
situation.
Happens.
Yeah.
So, continuing with our wedding theme and teams that ain't worried about nothing right now, as we mentioned, Chris Paul and James Harden hit up their teammate Trevor Ariza's wedding over the weekend. Same day, actually, as Harrison Barnes. Mm. And Bobby Brown was there too, Darrell Wright, Nicole Murphy, Matt Barnes. I kind of think Nicole Murphy and Matt Barnes might have been there together, but that's a conversation for another day. And Travis Scott performed. So we have footage of Travis Scott getting lit performing at Trevor's wedding reception. Mm. I mean, that's kind of dope.
I think
right?
It's dope. I mean, that's why we started with Travis Scott at the beginning of the show. But yeah,
right, to shout out that H-Town.
H-Town
getting down.
Let's get T Scott on.
And as you see in the video, as we mentioned, Chris and James.
What artist would you want personally? All right, you after. But what artist would you personally want to perform at your wedding? What would you want it?
At my reception?
Yeah, yeah. Answer the question afterwards, but yeah.
Yeah. Do you have an answer? Because I'm going to ask you. There's James. There's Chris Paul. Look, they look really hype.
Yeah, they do.
They're super excited.
I mean, that's cool. That's
how
cool.
Lit is that, though? You know, you say Trevor and his fiance Bria have been together for 9.5 years.
Wow.
They have 3 children together.
They've
two sons
married.
And a daughter.
That's
but,
crazy.
I mean, but it's different. They made it official. He mentioned in his vows how there were points where he wasn't. See, look. There's LB, Bobby Brown, Chris, James. They're really happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like at least going into camp, there's going to be a lot of goodwill as far as the Houston team. You
in
know?
The locker room. Yeah.
In the locker
Which
room, they're going to feel good. It is.
If that's good, then that'll allow people to be okay with sacrificing their ego. Like, you know what I mean? Just that effort. Because it's all egos. That's all it is. You know, it's guys and it's ultimate competitor guys who work their ass off to get to where they're at. And so, yeah, I think it is important to see that they have a personal relationship, and it allows you to believe that someone, they're going to be able to be in a situation where they can put their egos aside and have those conversations that they'll need to have during the season when it gets tough.
Because if you think about it with Kevin Durant, that was one of the big things that he wanted with the Warriors. He wanted that camaraderie and that teamwork thing where it doesn't matter who has the ball at the moment. Because we talked about earlier during the playoffs and finals how Steph had to swallow a lot of pride and step back and open up the team.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, too. Mm-hmm. And it worked out for them because now they're all champions again on their second ring. And who knows where it's going to go from here.
And every championship has to have those guys. Nowadays, you have to have more than one superstar on your team. So someone's swallowing their ego.
Absolutely.
You could even go back to like a guy like Scottie Pippen, who's a Hall of Famer. He had to. Michael Jordan is the best player of all time, but he still had to swallow his ego and be like, all right, I'm number two. I'm the beta.
Right.
So I think... Yeah, man, it's going to be really interesting to see how that goes. I do think that Chris Paul is in a situation where his career, where he's so like championship hungry, that I think he'd be okay with being the number two guy. But we'll see.
And
I don't know.
Another bit of interesting news for H-Town fans, Houston Rockets fans. We know we talked about last week how the Rockets are up for sale all of a sudden. Now there is word that one Beyonce Knowles
has an interest
in buying a stake H-Town down. And
how cool would that be? The first like female-owned like.
Well, I mean, I doubt she would be able to get. You know, she's probably trying to get into the group and get a stake, maybe more than the 1% Jay had with the Nets. But it
would be more than just that 1% that he had, right?
Like, I mean, it depends on the group and what they put together, but I would hope that it would be more than that, and she can maybe put some of her touches somewhere into it, sort of like Jay-Z did.
Right.
There's lots of entertainers.
So it'd be more of a Jay-Z situation than or Justin Timberlake with the Grizzlies than like a Michael Jordan type situation?
Exactly. Oh, it would be more like that. Like Usher owns a piece of the Cavaliers. Right. Nelly used, I'm not sure if he still does, owned a piece of the Hornets, Bobcats.
JT's in Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However it goes now.
It's the Hornets.
It's the Hornets, but he bought into it when it was the Bobcats.
Yeah.
You know, Serena Williams, Venus Williams, and Jennifer Lopez.
Right.
Yep, own a piece of the Dolphins. So there's a lot of these situations out and about out there.
That'd be cool.
So,
to see that.
You know, Beyonce's just out here living out my dreams.
Right.
I would love to be a partial owner of an NBA franchise.
Dope.
Anyway, moving along. I don't know. Well, wait, really quickly. You had a question about who I would want to perform at my wedding reception.
Live.
You know?
A dead or alive, whoever.
They're probably like Prince and Beyonce.
Yeah.
That would be dope.
Prince and Beyonce. Okay.
Michael, you know. Maybe Janet, just to have a Legends of the Fall thing really quick, full-on concert. I don't know. You know, or somebody that's really dope with slow jams, so it could, like, serenade us. What about you?
I don't want him to steal my girl while he's performing, but I would want Maxwell to be to perform at my...
That would be nice.
That's one of my favorite artists. Erykah Badu would be hella cool. I love that neo-soul era.
You want that at your reception?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, great lyrics. You know what I mean? It's like
you
want
to hear lyrics after that?
What?
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I need some emotional stuff.
I'm trying to turn out.
Kendrick and J. Cole depress me, so I can't do that. But yeah. I would want to hear some R&B so we can, you know,
some R&B or whatever. Okay. I like that. I'm with that.
Yeah.
So, really quick, let's talk about another member of the cast. So, you know, sensing a theme.
I heard about this, yes.
J.R. Smith. Now, Tracy McGrady, as we know, has been was nominated to go into the Basketball Hall of Fame this fall. And he was talking about the fact that he's never won a career. And if you follow T-Mac's career, injuries during his prime when he was in Orlando, Houston, he tried, didn't quite have the team around him. So, he never got, I don't even think he got to play in a Western Conference Finals.
He never got to the first round, did he?
I don't think so. Yeah. So, T-Mac never won a ring, but scoring was one of the greatest to ever do it, but these things happen. So, he said that for him, anybody can win a ring. It means something more to go into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I'm, you know, it's not too often that I'm on J.R. Smith's side wholeheartedly, but I get his perspective, but he hasn't gotten over it. It's obvious. He's still stuck. Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. And the other guy, another crazy comment, I don't know if you hear about this one, but the Houston owners.
Yeah.
He was talking about how there shouldn't be awards. And then Blake Griffin, like, had responded to it. And he was like, oh, yeah, we shouldn't have a championship either. We should just have petition. You have, like, it just doesn't, like, that's get over it, bro.
You're just salty because you didn't get there. And I understand you have to say something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe say something more like, you know, I wish that I had made it that far, but I didn't. But I still had a great career, apparently a Hall of Fame career.
Right.
So
and he did.
There's just, you know, some things you can't have everything.
What do you think? What is more honorable, a championship or or being in Hall of Fame?
I mean, they both carry so much weight. I understand what he means because, like, for example, Matt Barnes came in at the end of the season with the Warriors. Right. He got a ring this year. I love Matt Barnes, so I have no problem with it. But some people might not say he deserved it. Or guys that are on the team, yeah. but, you know, not on the active roster. But I feel like they're there. They put in the work, so they deserve that ring. And the Hall of Fame, most of the time, it's an individual award, and it's different. I think they're both incredible honors, and really, you can't dismiss one or the other. But the point of playing the game is to win a title.
Yeah, right. So. And I get his perspective from an individual standpoint, because as a team, there's a lot, you can't control a lot when it's as a team. But you know, so like as a superstar, I get his perspective in that. But it's to completely downplay winning a championship. I don't think he actually feels that way. I think he would reword it a little bit next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Say but, something.
Yeah. So, shout out to J.R. Smith for, you know, holding it down.
Earl III. It's going to be okay. Just you and LeBron and Shump.
You'll find out. You'll work it out.
It'll work out. So, next up, we have to talk about LeVar Ball again. So, we know last week, LeVar's big baller brand, are they called Big Baller AAU team.
Oh, yeah.
They were in the tournament last week in Vegas, LaMelo showing out, and it was sponsored by Adidas. Mm-hmm. There was a female ref. She teed LeVar up, and, you know, this was the same event that LeVar had walked off the court with his team in one round. And so with this particular ref, he said that she couldn't keep up. He talked about her weight. He had a lot of inappropriate things to say. So now people are saying that we liked LeVar's antics before, but now he's seeming a little misogynistic when you compare that with the comments he made to the FS1 host Kristen Leahy about stay in your lane.
Right.
You know, people were riding for him at that point because she had said certain things about him as a father, but now they're kind of looking at him sideways. Right. So what are your thoughts on Adidas removing the ref from the game? They've since come out and say that was a bad move on their part. They don't condone that.
To
they removed the female ref from the game he was in. Mm-hmm. But do you think that he shows shades of misogynism, or do you think that it's just LeVar being LeVar and just rolling with the attention?
Oh, I mean, in my opinion, it was misogynistic, but I think the bigger point is who LeVar is as a person. I think Bomani Jones said this really well. Me personally, we all know someone like this.
Absolutely.
But these people usually don't have a mic in front of them and have so much buzz. And people like that are like stuck in their ways in a sense that like they don't care like about how it's coming off. That, you know, we're in a very TV trained area. He's not a TV trained guy, and he's not trying to be
at all.
You know, who do you want to blame on why he's getting so much attention to the media or the people paying attention? That's the question. But from the standpoint of, does this change my opinion of him? No, because it's not something I'm surprised to hear him say because of what he's done so far. His agenda, he has one agenda. He's trying to get buzz on his guys, all of them, all his sons, and he's accomplishing that. And how he goes about it, sometimes I agree with it, sometimes I don't.
Right.
In this situation, of course I don't agree with it. It was inappropriate to say, but that's it. That's nothing else to say. How do you feel about that?
I feel very similar to you. Mm-hmm. I think that we all know LeVar, especially not just for me. I remember guys like him growing up. I've seen guys like that around basketball, especially around AAU, these mm-hmm. ex-athletes that are kind of a little failed, didn't quite make it, but, you know, right there. He's obviously a great dad and an excellent coach.
Yeah.
And so you're going to take a little good with the bad, but for me, I think that I don't view LeVar as problematic. I'm not surprised that he thinks of women in a certain
type of form. At all, yeah.
He is what he is, you know, and I feel like there's a lot of faux outrage. Not that that's not a reason to be upset and that it shouldn't have happened and people shouldn't have spoken out about it. But I think LeVar, at this point, we all know what LeVar Ball is.
Yeah,
we know what he's going to do. We know his agenda. So
he's just buzzing right now. And there will be a time where he won't be, like, he'll still be saying these things, but we won't be paying attention as much.
Maybe. We got to see what happens next season. If he starts talking about his, you know.
Actually, you're right. Yeah. Because
the teammates, Lonzo's teammates, we'll see. Magic might be like, hey, hey, hey.
That's going to be interesting to see if he does stuff like that. But he's a father. He's a fan. Like, you know what I mean? He's not a reputable source, you know. He's just getting attention for because he's interesting. He is. He's very compelling. And I think. I love that. I wish we should open with this. The Shaq diss track. Did you hear that?
Oh, that's we sure should have. But Shaq was spitting straight facts.
The thing is, that's one of Shaq's best tracks of all time.
It really
is. And I like he had.
And Shaq has gone platinum several times.
That's what I'm saying. He's like this most successful basketball rapper, even though we make fun of him. He has a track with Biggie, which wasn't that bad. Like, so it's just like. It was. I actually like that. Like the beat, I was kind of like rocking with it a little bit.
And I mean, he had jokes in it.
He did. It was funny.
Well, maybe next time. Maybe next time. If you guys haven't checked that out, hit up the internet. Shaq's diss track of LeVar Ball. LeVar's response was weak. He doesn't care. He just wanted the attention.
Right.
He also said that he would beat Jordan once again, 101. So Jordan's Flight Academy was taking place this weekend. So a reporter decided to ask him what he thought about that. Mm. Now, Mike said, you know, usually I don't get into stuff like this, but since you asked me, I think the funny thing about this is that you know that this had reached Mike a long time ago because he knew how many points LeVar averaged in college on his basketball team.
Right.
And he also said, basically, I could beat him with one hand. Did he say one leg or one hand?
Yeah, I could beat him
one leg broken. And LeVar Ball responded that, Something LeVar-esque. He just likes it's the LeVar, attention. He's just keeping it moving.
It's cool, like to be able to say stuff like that and get, Michael Jordan to respond. To have Shaq, like I think it's kind of cool. Like I'm almost jealous. Like it's just like you know what I mean. Obviously, he's playing super profound things, and who's to know if he actually believes what he's saying? Like I don't think he believes everything he's saying. If I were to analyze that, right? As a competitor, I'm always going to think I got an opportunity. But like practically speaking, no, I don't think I would beat Michael Jordan 1-on-1. But, like, would I go out there and try? Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
I might even, like, try to make it look like I believe I am. So, I believe I would win. So, like, I get that perspective of it. But there's no actual depth to what he's saying in this situation. He's just talking.
Do you think he's made it harder on his sons? All of them. Not just Lonzo, but Melo and D'Angelo. As far as all of the mouth he's given and all the attention he's given. Because there are fans that are so opposed to him and his methods that they're hating on them. Do you think there's credence in that? Do you think it matters?
What he's done has pros and cons. What he's done is going to make them more money because there's buzz around them. Even the amount of attention we're giving to Summer League and what shoes Lonzo Ball is wearing has nothing to do with Lonzo Ball's personality. It has everything to do with LeVar Ball. The fact that we're watching an AAU game. We don't watch AAU games. LaMelo against Zion Williamson.
80,000 streams.
So you know what I'm saying? So that's the positives he's doing. The negatives... Yeah, he wows out his mouth, and that's why like the top point guards in the league are going to be coming at Lonzo all season long. But you know what I mean? That's the league. That's the NBA. So you take your pros with your cons, make your money, but you know, get your game right too, so you'll be ready every night.
Well, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
And lastly, let's talk about.
What do you think before My bad. What do you think about that?
About
your question, you asked me his credence.
You know, I'm not against what he stands for, ultimately, but I don't like some of the methods that he imposes.
Right.
I think that it's just, I get it, because perhaps if you weren't as over the top or brash,
no
you wouldn't get the attention and no one would care. But sometimes I'm just like, this is not about your kids.
Yeah.
This is really about you. And that sort of bothers me. Not that I feel like he means his children any harm or anything like that, but find another way or another moment to make it about you and even promote the things that you are without saddling it to your kids. I know that seems sort of difficult because they are the attraction, but I just feel like the way he sets them up in it sometimes does them a disservice.
I think, yeah. And like last thing before we move on, one of the things that the thing that makes me mostly okay with it is that I think he's being very authentic. He's being himself.
Yeah.
If someone was putting this on, it'd be a whole different situation. If like he was different behind the cameras, he's just he's himself all the time, which is a problem, right? But at the same time, I get it.
Right.
I get that, you know. So
it's entertaining.
It is entertaining.
It's entertaining. Yeah. I'm amused.
I'm too.
So lastly, you know, the Big Three has been rolling this summer. Hit Dallas this weekend, and shock and surprise, a guy that hasn't been on the court but was a huge draw for the league. Didn't even show up this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Allen Iverson was a no-show. What do you think about that? Are you surprised by that? What, you know, TMZ says they heard that AI was somewhere in a casino gambling. We don't know if it's true, but sounds like it could be true, right?
Well, it hints at one of the things, the problems with the big three is in calling out a responsibility from the players, and who knows if, because the story about Gary Payton not showing up to a media thing. He's not getting, he said straight up, I'm not getting paid for this. Like, this is not a requirement. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm here because I want to be here.
Oh, so he meant he wasn't getting paid for the media thing, because surely they make some money from
being involved in the league. I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
I think, you know, because AI's replacement was DeMar Johnson, who's a friend of mine. We have to ask. I think they have to be getting some type of money, because they are taking time out. And the league is making money.
Right.
So, and we know some of those guys haven't seen an NBA paycheck in a long time.
Good little bit.
So,
yeah, I think... it doesn't surprise me. It's a little disappointing, but, you know, AI is going to be AI.
So overall this summer, we've had heard highlights, bits and pieces about the big three. Would you deem it as having been a success? Do you think that it'll make a return next summer with obviously probably some refinement? Yeah. Or do you think that this is something that's kind of not really sustainable?
It depends on the athletes if they want to return. It is less of a sizzle if AI is not a part of it, but the videos I've seen, it seems like the athletes definitely care. Like you saw Steven Jackson and Charles Oakley getting in an argument,
right?
Yeah, so stuff like that. If it was more
two known NBA goons that are about that life,
exactly. And you know, if it was more accessible, I'd watch it. If it was on ESPN2 or something like that, if it wasn't on like Fox Sports 1, like I would check it out and see what it's about. But that's the only negative I would say. I think it'll be a straight business decision, because I think there's enough buzz to return. Like, if there's enough cost reward from the standpoint of Ice Cube and them making the decisions, I think they'll come back next year.
Okay.
What do you think?
I feel like it obviously seems to do better in the smaller markets because those are the areas that don't have as much access to pro players in general.
Right.
I think that it'll come back. I think that now that people have seen how it worked, like we talked about how there were some changes to the point system because they were getting tired and things of that nature. And I mean, you know, game day is like 6 hours. Nobody wants to sit there for 6 hours and watch all of this. So I think that there will be some adjustments made to how game day is run and so forth. But I think that there's room for it, and I think that it's entertaining in a summer that always could use more basketball.
Well, yeah,
and, of course, you know, there's always those questions. Could your team have beat the Warriors?
Right.
We love those questions, because who's going to say yes?
Right. Everybody says yes, unfortunately. But, hey, you know.
So that's pretty much it. Yeah. The Drew League final week of regular season play. Mm-hmm. The playoffs are this weekend. Do you have any predictions of what team you think is going to make it through?
I don't know if Chris Paul's returning, but if
That was a one and done.
Okay. Even without him, James Harden, Malvin Bagley, Bobby Brown, that team has been hot, and I expect them to continue. I would love to see them play the games team and see how that goes down, since they're still undefeated. I hope that's a championship, and we'll see how it goes. How about you?
That sounds like a great matchup to me. Excited. Sorry, Keon. that sounds like, you know, undefeated. They've been catching fire. Great plays. So always fun to see that and to get a peek at the would-be second in command for the Western Conference, I guess, the Rockets. I'm slipping over my Clippers because I don't know. Speaking of the Clippers, you know, Danilo Gallinari broke his thumb.
Hey, he gets that. Get used to that. He does that a lot.
You know, I remember when he was with the Nuggets and, you know.
He always gets hurt. He's actually a very good player, but he's never healthy.
I mean, Dad was out there with the thug life. He swung at a player.
He did? Oh, was
that
the reason?
That's how it happened. Yeah, he was like fighting in the court with the player.
He getting his goon stripes.
So maybe, you know, he could be that for the Clippers. I don't know what this Clippers team is going to look like this year. Good luck with that.
They'll be good if they stay healthy, which is the problem.
And NBA season starts a week earlier because, you know, they're trying to stretch it out and give the teams more rest.
We need that.
Schedule will be coming out soon. So that's our Drew League weekly show. Playoffs next week. Josh will be back. D'Angelo here.
Getting out of here,
guys. Getting out of here, leaving us. He'll be here in spirit.
I'll be checking it out, checking you guys out as always.
Checking in. So thank you for checking us out. D'Angelo, you have to tell them where they can find you and where else on AfterBuzz, of course.
Of course, guys, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. And I love talking sports with you guys, hoops, football, baseball. I'm all about it. So hit me up with your questions, your thoughts, you know, anything you got. Oh, and hit me up on Instagram at D'Angelo, obviously. And Jill, where can they find you?
You can find me at Stiletto Jill everywhere. I love to talk sports. We can talk about power. We can talk about Insecure.
Which is a bomb
show. We can talk about Ballers. I'm on the Ballers after show here. I'm also on the Power after show here. And we'll be back next week with the Drew League Weekly. And we have some more sports things coming for you guys in the fall. So make sure you are checking us out on AfterBuzz TV. If you're watching this on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. If you're listening on iTunes, 5 stars, please. And we'll see you next time. Thank you for checking us out.
Deuces.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.